today on Real Radio.
And the very word implies in following him that I don't know exactly what's going on, but he does, and that takes faith. And though you may be a very safe person, you can be reckless for God. Faith now characterizes your life. You step out for his glory.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Foundation Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll continue covering Galatians chapter 3 with verses 6 through 9 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through his gospel of grace. Our justification through faith in Jesus Christ is founded upon God's word. It's always been God's plan to save us, for our salvation is a gift based solely upon faith and not by works. Before the law even existed, Abraham believed God, and God declared him righteous. And the gospel that was acted out in Abraham's life is the same exact gospel that saves mankind today. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the believer's justification by faith is secured by God. A life of faith in God is a blessed life, confident in the knowledge that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And now, continuing his lesson called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Because Abraham would not wait upon God, he caved in, and he went and got his maid at Sarah's request. You got to study the culture. It's kind of interesting. It's twisted to us, but it's very common back then. Because Abraham didn't want to wait on God, he's thinking, well, maybe I'll help God out in this salvation process. I'll do it my way. And boy, it's been a disaster ever since. But Ishmael was born. And God said, okay, look, I'm going to bless Ishmael, Abraham. Don't worry about that. But he's not the one I picked. He's not my promised son. Sarah's going to have a boy. That's the boy. Name him Isaac. Isaac is born. Now, God says, take your son, your only son. Why? He was the son of the promise, not the son of works. Take him to this hill country. In the land of Moriah, God says in Genesis 22. I'll give you a hint. There's a city in the land of Moriah. And that city goes by the name of Jerusalem today. And by the way, Jerusalem, though it is on top of a mountaintop, there are mountains, many mountains, that surround Jerusalem. So God says, I'm going to show you a place, Abraham. Take your son. So they go. And listen, it says 3 days into the journey. 3 days into the journey. 3 days since when? From the moment God said to Abraham, go take and sacrifice your son. That truth was in Abraham's head for how many days? 3 days. You kind of see the picture forming? A father is going to take his only son. He's going to sacrifice him in the land of Moriah, near the city of Jerusalem. In Abraham's mind, his son had been good, all but dead in his mind for how long? 3 days. God shows him the hilltop, and it says there, Abraham, by faith, Abraham says to his servants that are accompanying them, you stay here, I and my son, we're going to go to the mountaintop and we will worship the Lord and we will return. And so they went. And as they're there, can you imagine? Abraham is so old. Isaac is carrying the wood. Sound familiar? Isaac says, Father, here's the wood, and you got a fire going for the burnt offering. But where's the sacrifice? What does Abraham say? Son, God will provide himself the lamb. That's all he tells him. Somehow, there in the scripture, Abraham says, Isaac, lay down on the altar of wood. Remember, he's 30 years plus. Abraham is ancient. He could say, Pop, say again? What? Lay down on the altar. Lay down on the wood. I've got a knife. I've got a fire. You're going to be the offering. Isaac doesn't say, wait a minute. Didn't the promise come to you about me? I'm supposed to live. Didn't say anything about you living. I'm supposed to live. You get on the altar. You're old anyway. I got my life to live. Get on the altar. There's none of that. In fact, the word says in Genesis 22 that they went in agreement. The word means absolute harmony. Isaac, lay down. All right. He lays down. Abraham takes a knife. He's got a fire. Once killing his son, he's going to burn him as a consuming fire unto God. What is Abraham doing? He's obeying God. But wait a minute, I thought God does not accept human sacrifice. He doesn't. There's a problem here. Abraham takes up the knife to run it through his son. The angel of the Lord stops him, and God says, all right, that's it. Now I know that you will not withhold anything from me. Abraham, I know that you love me. By the way, God knew that, didn't he? If you read between the lines carefully, the word of God, Abraham needed to know that. I think Isaac became an idol in Abraham's life. But God was doing more than that. For in the land of Moriah, there's a hill, the high ground. We call it Calvary. It's what this church is named after. It's also known as Golgotha, or the place of the skull. You can see it today. The site of crucifixion. God was acting out in the land of Moriah on the high hill, a place where 2,000 years ago, the Father in heaven acted out for our salvation. His son going to the cross, carrying the wood, the judgment of our sins. God placing upon him the sins of us all. No wonder why God said to Abraham somehow, and Abraham said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself the lamb. We just didn't know that it would be personal. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that exciting to our soul? Justifications by God. Third and final point in verse 9, the believer's foundation, justification by faith, is secured by God. Justification brings about results in the believer's life. It says, so then those who are of faith, those who are of faith, do you believe in him? Have you read his word, and have you read the wonderful story? The great truths, the actual events, the promises, have you read it? It brings about a change in your life. Now listen, it's secured by God. So then those who are of faith, yeah, the word means those who believe, their lives are now characterized by a life of faith. What does that mean? You know what? It means we're risk takers. Did you know that? Say what? You might say, well, I'm not a risk taker by nature. This is the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit inside of you. You may not be a risk taker by nature. I am not one by nature. I don't like that. I told you before, I'm a wimp, man, when it comes to like amusement rides. I think they're from hell. They scare me to death. I'm not going to go on it. Why? Because somebody put the thing on the car, on the track. That bugs me. Somebody screwed that roller coaster on a track. That means if somebody put it on, it can come off. I'm not going to go there. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Roller coasters are evil. No, but that's just my thing. I just don't like it. Yes, I am a hypocrite. I have my pilot's license, airplanes. But I think God invented airplanes. So roller coasters, no, 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 no. But a Christian can be, in a sense, timid regarding things of this life, but bold in the things of God. Why? Because he's promised to never let me down. He's promised to never abandon me. And he's encouraged me to step out and follow him. And the very word implies in following him that I don't know exactly what's going on. But he does, and that takes faith. And though you may be a very safe person, you can be reckless for God. Faith now characterizes your life. You step out for his glory. And somebody might interview you, and you say, well, you know what you're going to do? No. Do you know what's going to happen after you do it? No. But I know God's in it. And with that, you can be firm. You can be secure. A life of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. Isn't that great news? Listen, justification by faith exalts the believer. He says in verse 9, blessed. We are blessed with believing Abraham. Who's blessed? We are who believe in God. Believing. We're blessed with Father Abraham. The word means both in Hebrew and in Greek that God wants us happy. The word blessed or blessed, happy is the man. It's a very great word, simple word. Watch this. I have people tell me, Pastor, I don't care what you tell me. I'm coming here because I was told to come here. And so here's our counseling session. So here's the, I don't care what you tell me. I'm leaving my wife or I'm leaving my husband because I want to be happy. And I don't care what the Bible says. And I say to them, are you a Christian? Yes. But I'm going to leave that person because I want to be happy. Well, we have a problem with that. You want to leave him because you're happy? You want to be happy? Yeah, he doesn't make me happy. Listen, everybody, carefully. I may have struck a nerve with somebody. Well, before you completely run out of the building, just wait before you do. God declares that happiness. Remember, he's God, and he invented us, and he invented words and their meanings. We don't reinvent them. God says, if you want to be happy, seek first the kingdom of God. And I'll give you all these things that you need. We're not interested in what God wants us to have. We want to have what we think we need. So here's what man does. Man, Mr. and Mrs. Mankind. I'm not happy in this situation, so I am going to take it into my own hands. All in the pursuit of happiness. And I got to tell you, I have never in my life yet met someone who came up to me later and said, well, you know what? I'm happier now. I'm happier now. I know I disobeyed God and all that stuff, but I'm happier now. I've never heard it. I've heard people say I'm safer now. I've heard people say I'm richer now. I've heard people say a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. But happy? What am I saying? Is this. If you are married to Mr. Bum, you know what? It could be that Mr. Bum needs to come to faith in Jesus himself. Be that as it may, you can be happy living with Mr. Bum. You can be happy living with Mrs. Bum. If you put your heart, as the scripture says here, that we are blessed with believing Abraham, if we put our hearts before him. If we seek first God, he will cause the most adverse circumstances in our lives to be changed. God is more, though, involved in changing my heart and your heart in the situations that we have in life. Who's to say that the situation that you're in, God is in it to change not only that person, but you too? Who's to say that maybe God has you married to that person because they are your ministry? Could it be that God brought that person in your life not to make you happy, but to make them your ministry? Because only God can make you happy. And I have men tell me, you know what? I'm not happy with my wife. She doesn't turn me on anymore. So these things happen, these things go on, and all these things to change the circumstance when in reality, it's the heart. If my heart's right toward God, the gospel is not fragile. It has the power to work through me, the changing of the world around me. No wonder the Bible says, blessed, happy are we with believing Abraham. And that's a very strong thing. God wants to delight in us. In Numbers 14:8, the Bible says that God wants to delight in us. God wants to be happy in us. Did you know that? Jeremiah, no wonder why. Jeremiah 29:11 says what it says. It makes sense now. See, God wants me happy his way. You can be happy today by believing in the God of Abraham, by trusting in him. Do you understand this? This is important. How is it that people in China in the underground church. They're losing their life for Jesus, but they're happy. They pray for us. Did you know that? They pray for us hard. What about people who are so attacked and so ridiculed for believing in Jesus, and yet they're happy because they know their foundation, secure in Christ? See, you and I, to be a believer here, I've changed my view on something. I used to think being a believer in Southern California is the easiest thing. Now I think it's the exact opposite. I think this is the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. I mean it. You know, there's nobody's chasing us yet with guns and spears and tanks and all that stuff. But you know what? This is a hard place to be a real Christian. We live, as it were, in Babylon. We've got all of these things that pull and tempt us. And I want to suggest that behind Madison Avenue and Sunset Boulevard, the magazines, the TV commercials, the shows, the movies, there's a driving force. And that is, go out and make yourself happy. It doesn't matter what your foundation's like. And the world around us is painting on its face and putting on the show, trying to convince someone that they're happy. And they may be fooling a lot of people, but they're not fooling God, and they're certainly not fooling Christians who are walking in the Spirit. You can see right through it. And your heart breaks for them because you love them. My friend, you want to be happy? You'd be a fool if you didn't want to be happy. There's only one way. Believe like Abraham believed, and thou shalt be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come, and Lord, we ask, Father, that you would break down this gathering of people this morning. Lord, there are those who are yours. We've heard about that status we have with you now. It's hard for us to believe it, to be honest with you, God, but your word tells us, and so we shall believe it, that we're justified, we're sanctified, we're glorified. It's too much. It's amazing. Then there are those here this morning who don't know you, and they don't care to know you. Father, we just pray that you change their hearts. Father, perhaps there are those here this morning, they're neither one nor are they the other yet. And they've heard this morning, perhaps, that for the first time, they can ask Jesus Christ into their lives. They can believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and they can confess that with their mouth, and they've heard this morning that they can be saved. Saved from sin, saved from hell, saved from a life that is in a direction opposite than yours. Father, it's my prayer that you would descend upon all that are here today in various ways. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're praying. Christians, please be praying right now. Nobody moves, please. This is a holy moment. We want to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work now. Perhaps this morning, you would like to respond to Jesus' offer. And I know it's kind of scary, but listen carefully. 2,000 years ago, God's Son came into the world to die on the cross for you publicly. And he held there on that cross, all but naked, had a little loincloth around him, just covering his private parts. They wanted it that way so the bulk of his flesh could be exposed to the rigidity and the horror of that wood. And then the shame of it. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, that's you right now, he endured the cross, despising its shame, to save you today. Jesus hung on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you believe that and you want to, as the scripture tells us, believe in your heart that God did all that, and if you confess that with your mouth, that is a public confession. Jesus said, if you declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I must deny you before my Father who is in heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It is black and it is white. But right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, perhaps this morning you want to say yes to Jesus. Christians, be praying. I'm going to ask you to be bold right now. Take courage. If you want Christ today, if you want to know that you're called, your heart is being stirred right now. Will you stand where you're at to receive Jesus Christ today? I'm going to ask you to stand, and then I'm going to ask you to sit down. But I will see with my eyes your public declaration for God. God didn't say how many people needed to see. I will see. Anyone this morning you'd like to receive Christ, stand where you're at while Christians are praying. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you both. Again, anyone? Is there a storm going on in your heart emotionally right now? Are you battling? Are you struggling? That's the Holy Spirit saying, stand quick. Stand and receive my son. Anyone else? God bless you. Toward the back. You can sit down. Anyone else? Father, we thank you for these that have stood today. I'm going to ask the entire gathering here. Let's all stand together if you would. Again, I'm going to ask you to take the hands of those that are near you. I know that's odd, huh? In church, to touch somebody. We're going to welcome some new brothers and sisters into the family of God right now. While we pray, those of you who stood, will you let these words fall from your lips? Those of us who are Christians this morning, you want to encourage them along in the prayer? If you're not a Christian today and you don't want to be a Christian, do not pray this prayer. It's no joke. But if you mean it, God will save you. And in a moment, the Holy Spirit will come into your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe that you died and that you rose again from the dead. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Make me your child today. Thank you, Father, for giving me your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that your foundation is secure in Jesus Christ. The Believer's Foundation, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life devotions sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.